place a big ad in one of those magazines and sell thousands of subscriptions just through the mail. That's what I will investigate. I know we have a State Bank of India there in Southern California. Then we might be able to work out some kind of a deal. I have just to research these things. Anyone has any ideas of how we can sell subscriptions in any part of the world, please let me know, because this is something we all have to do. It's not that four or five of us in San Diego can make it the world's most popular magazine. It's something that each and every one of us has to be thinking. So is everybody fired up to do whatever they can to help make Back to Godhead the world's most popular magazine?
Yeah.
Go on, God!
Yeah.
Another question? I'm sorry?
In Australia, where I'm from, they flood letterboxes with subscriptions to magazines and advertising certain things. So you probably...
direct mail advertising campaigns. Yeah. We've done that in North America. We're going to be doing that some more, too. The first one wasn't as successful as we wanted to be. We only had about a 1%. 2% is considered good in the professional direct mail. We did less than 1%. So we have to, refine the technique. But we're trying to utilize every technique that's available. Right now, in Bombay, Sridhar Maharaj is taking American-developed techniques of direct mail and telemarketing and do huge fundraising in Bombay right now. But we in America, we haven't fully capitalized on the things that have been developed for marketing in America. So we have to. We're trying to do that now. I think only one more question because we have other presentations that have to be made. Any more questions? If not, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
So next presentation is from Govinda Bhashya Prabhu. Mahat's preaching. And then... Mother Shashi Shankar, you are next after Govinda Bhashya Prabhu and then Kamsapai.
So I'm going to speak on Namahat preaching in England. I'll make it brief as time is getting on. And we have two other speakers to speak. I don't really do a lot of Namahat preaching myself, but I have done a bit in England, so I can give an overview of how Namahat preaching has gone to date in England and what we plan to do in the future. So in England, Namahat preaching is becoming more and more a very integral part of the preaching, because we're finding out that from the Namahat programs, we're getting devotees to come and join, and they're doing a lot of valuable service. And also the Namahatas themselves are also making very valuable contributions. For instance, you all know that we've had problems with Bhaktivedanta Manor as far as the local authorities trying to stop us having our guests come. So we had a case which cost about a quarter of a million pounds. And that money was pretty much raised from a patron program, which basically consists of Namahat devotees. So how they do it in the manor? The manor is based just about 12 miles out of London. And around the London area, specifically North London, because the manor is 12 miles north of London, you have different boroughs. For instance, you have Barnet, Harrow, Wembley, places like this. So different people who come to the manor on a regular basis, they've started Namahat programs in these areas. They meet sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks. And from these groups, they have some quite wealthy people, and amongst themselves, they got together the whole manor campaign. Obviously, they had supervision from the manor temple authorities, but they pretty much ran the campaign, they raised the money, they did the lobbying, they also got in touch with dignitaries from abroad, etc. So that Namahat group, or those set of groups of Namahats, they're more Indian-based. But as you go outside London, then you have Namahatas, which are more English. So in England, we have a system where we have 11 temples, or temples and preaching centers, and we have over 20 Namahata centers. So these Namahata centers, they start where usually a grihastha couple, they go to a town which is not too far from their center, and they start preaching programs. They start a Namahat. And they usually hold programs, let's say, once every 2 weeks, or they might start even once every 3 weeks. And they get names of people who've been in contact with the temple. And from that, they build up. And we've had great success in the sense that the 11 centers that we have now, 6 of those centers have started up as Namahat groups. For instance, we have, starting from the north, I think Newcastle was more or less a Namahata group. Liverpool started, we have a center in Manchester, and in Manchester they have a few Namahata centers. Liverpool was one. So a devotee went, he moved into Liverpool, and with the support from the congregation there, now he has a small center. Similarly in Birmingham, where I am, there was a Namahata which was being run by a devotee who was in Leicester, which is about 45 miles away. So I went to Birmingham, and with the help of that Namahata group, then also we started a center. And let's see, you have the same in a place just east of London called Rumford. So the good thing about these Namahata centers is, as the devotees in these centers are cultivated, especially they're cultivated with the understanding that since they live outside the temple, that they get spiritual guidance from the devotees who are coming from the temples, but at the same time they have a responsibility to help financially. And we see that when we go out and we start centers from Namahata groups, then we don't have to worry so much about our financial situation. For instance, in Birmingham, we just bought a property last year, and there are 4, sometimes 5 devotees. All we do is book distribution, and we don't have to take any money from our book distribution to finance our center, because all that's covered. So for instance, even though it was the year that we bought a building, we're doing extensive renovations because the house, we had to gut it out completely, but still we were able to give 85% of our Sankirtan money to the BBT. So in this way, Namahata preaching is, it's very, very, how you say, it's very beneficial to book distribution. For instance, there was a devotee a few days ago. He was reading from a book from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he was explaining that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said that there are 3 things which he held very, very close to his heart, and that even if after he left his body, if these 3 things were going on, then his heart would be touched to the core. So he said these 3 things were printing of books, distribution of books, and lastly, Namahata preaching. He said no matter what else happened, if these 3 things continue, then he'll be very pleased. So we can see that these 3 activities, they're like a foundation for ISKCON. They're very, very, they place a very sound foundation, because when you have book distribution, which is going on, obviously then the printing of books has to be going on, and Namahata preaching, then everything is sound spiritually and also financially. Srila Prabhupada said that one can understand that a center is doing well when, or that the preaching mood is strong when book distribution is going on well. And also if one has, if a center has a good Namahat, network, then that temple will also be financially sound, because the Namahatas, then they'll do a lot of the work that we find in the past, the brahmacharis or devotees in the temples, or the brahmacharis or grihasas, it doesn't matter, but what devotees have had to do, you know, to maintain the centers, and consequently undergo so much anxiety when the time could have been spent still working hard, but with a mood of preaching rather than a mercantile mood. So There is one Namahata group which has been very, very successful, and that's in East London. That's the Rumford group. So this Namahata program was started about, say, 6, 7, 8 years ago by a devotee called Bhagavan Ashraya. So Bhagavan Ashraya, he was the temple president for Soho Street in London. This is, we have two big temples, the man in Soho Street. So he was the temple president for Soho Street, and he used to travel out to Rumford. So what happened was, the person who he used as his, how we start Namahata is usually we try and get a key person, somebody who is very interested in Krishna consciousness, and somebody who's willing for us to use their home, who's willing to go out and do a little bit of legwork. So John Richardson, he went to the manor. He was a singer in a pop group before, and he was doing a play. I think it was the Bhagavad Gita. So he went to the manor to get some information, and from there he met Bhagavad Ashraya, and Bhagavad Ashraya started cultivating him. So Bhagavad Ashraya and his wife, they're very, very expert in dealing with household families outside. And gradually they started a Namahata group. So John Richardson also, he was a healer. So all his patients, as he would heal them, like we're hearing the story about Murari Gupta, that Murari Gupta, he would heal his patients materially, and also spiritually he would make them Krishna conscious. So in the same way, John Richardson, he would heal his patients, and as his patients developed faith in him, then he would bring them to his Namahata program. And it gradually started to take off like that. So this group became so potent, actually, and famous, that devotees in the temples, because in the temples, we all know that, especially Bhaktivedanta Man, it's a very, very special place. When you go there, you can feel the atmosphere, the vibration. It's very, very special. But still, because of the pace, sometimes devotees get a little bit fried, as we say. So this Namahat group is such an ecstatic group that devotees, for relief from the pace in the temple, they will go to the Namahata center. And just as, for instance, Sankirtan devotees know that when they go out traveling, as soon as they leave the temple in the traveling Sankirtan van, they can feel the mercy coming down from Lord Chaitanya. So because this preaching, this Namahat group is like an outpost. Namahat groups are like outposts. So there's a special mercy which is coming down from Lord Chaitanya. And devotees constantly, they would go there and actually take shelter. So today, this Namahat group, not only do they have a very, very nice family mood, which is there with a lot of groups, but it's especially there with this group, but also they've got it to the point where they've got their own, they've got their own temple now. So the different people, they go every morning 4:30 for Mangal Aarti. Saturday they go out on book distribution. So we have a few Namahat groups like that. There's another one in South London, but this Namahat group is so special that even for the marathon, they did, I don't know if you people can relate to book points, but they did something like 16,000 book points in 3 weeks, which is pretty phenomenal. When you think, last year, I think the temple that came in first in this small division, they did something like 20,000 book points. And also, today, this Namahata, they've had about 10 to 15 of their members have come up. They've been initiated, some have moved into the temple, and some are still, you know, practicing from home. But it's very, very successful. Every week they get from 50, say 30 to 100 people, and they do very, very good service. Also, there's another Namahata group in South London, and usually the system was every year in around July, August, we have our Rath Yatra festival. So this Namahata group would provide all the finances and the backup work for the Rath Yatra festival. So, you know, devotees would not have to worry about any kind of financial encumbrance, because it's actually quite a big thing putting on Namahat in London. So I'll end there. Does anybody have any questions?
I just want to question when these Namahat, you know, aspiring devotees, when they come up, in the beginning, how do you engage in service? Because, like, sometimes in New Zealand we find that aspiring Nama devotees, because they're not following strictly the regulated principles, then you can't get them to cook for the Sunday feast like that. So, you know, different ways they are restricted. So how do you engage them nicely and bring them up to the standard where they can actually cook and be directly involved?
Well, one thing is, in Namahat preaching, you'll have different devotees at different levels. You'll have some devotees who are chanting 16 rounds and following the four requisite principles. You'll have some devotees who are following two of the principles, chanting some rounds, etc. So it's a very individual thing. Some people that come to Namahat, and you can see that they're going to, you know, take to the process in due course of time and progress. And some devotees who are in the Namahat, they are, you know, pretty much into staying at a particular level. And some get into it for some time, and then they kind of, you know, phase out. And there's a lot of time there's a flow of some devotees going up and going down in the Namahata, because it's very difficult for people who are living outside. For devotees in the temple, it's so much easier, you know, because we have association, you know, there's, you know, the positive aspect of peer pressure, like that. Whereas with Namahat devotees, they don't always have that. So, that is a bit of a problem, and that's why it's best, actually, for instance, that you have Grihastha couples who are dealing with Namahata groups, because then they can be more intimate, you know, with the families. And as far as engagement, when it comes to cooking, if, for instance, I know in Rumford, they're, let me see, how do they do it? They're pretty strict. If they know that somebody is not following, then they're strict, that they don't let the person cook. As far as I know, they, you know, pretty much maintain that standard. And, you know, the people know from the beginning that there is a standard and they have to abide by that standard. But because they have so many people who are on a particular standard, then, you know, it's very easy for the others to think of coming up to that standard. So basically one has to set a standard in a nice way, you know, but one has to stick to it. And then people know that they can progress. Because if you make the standard low, then they don't really have that much to look up to. So as long as it's presented in a nice way, then nobody gets hurt. As far as engagement, I'm not so expert on it. Maybe somebody else who also has had experience, Brishinga, engagement for Namahatas. Well, book distribution obviously is there.
Organizing festivals.
Harinam?
In a manor.
Huh?
Marching to save the manor.
Marching to save the manor.
They could get subscriptions for BTGs.
Subscriptions for BTGs?
Yeah, they're going to go on Padiyatra in the summer.
Oh, yeah, that's another program that's coming up, which is going to attract a lot of Namahata people in England. And that's Padiyatra in May. May 14th?
Well,
May 1st. We're starting Padiyatra in England, starting from Newcastle, and it will end round about first week in July in London, where we have our Rathiatra festival week after that. So that's another way, that's the kind of thing that Namahata people can easily link into. They actually, the main thing with Namahata preaching is that you have to have somebody who has got the energy to put into it. That's because it does take a lot of energy dealing with people who have, you know, one foot. Well, who are, you know, going out in the material, they're working, doing like, they have jobs out there in the material world. They're so much in contact with people in the material world. They live in their house. So there's so much influence. And also, they're, you know, we're neophyte. I can say for myself, I'm neophyte. But then they're even more affected by the material energy. So they require a lot of attention, like that. So that's the real thing with Namahat preaching, as far as I can see, is the personal attention that they get. It really is it's more than a full-time service, actually. Mm-hmm. I started to do Namahata preaching, and then I came to the point where I realized that I couldn't do Namahata preaching and do book distribution, do both of them justice. So I just had to make a choice. It's a very, very important and very demanding service, actually.
We have a new Bhakta program.
Yeah, it's like a new Bhakta program, except you have Bhakta sometimes with 3 years old and sometimes with 60. You know, it's a whole range.
I would like to know, do you think you're getting financial support from the Namahata people, from your members? So, for example, your center in Birmingham, you know, they support you financially. Do you tell them how you're spending their money? Do they expect to know from you how the money's being spent?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's, to me, that's very important. That people who give donations, they know exactly what their money is going for. That's very, very important. Because then they have faith. Then they have faith, you know, then they feel, you know, they feel good. And then there's, you can always ask. And you can ask without feeling any, you know, anxiety in the heart, you know, like that. So that's a very, very important thing. That one is dealing with the Namahata groups, but then it has to be very straightforward.
How much say do they have in how their money is being spent? Like, say that you want to get a new car, a bigger car or something, you know? If they have some objection to it, you know, how do you deal with it?
In Birmingham, our Namahatas, our situation is not so developed. And generally, because we keep our expenses very, very low, then it's, you know, it's just no question. But trying to think how they work it in other centers. Basically, they're trained in such a way. For instance, in one center, I can say that they're trained in such a way that there's that faith and the authority, that the authority, yeah, they do have committees, but at the same time, the ultimate thing, it rests with the authority. I'm not really the man to speak about Namahata.
This Rompert Center, your Rompert Center, is this property in ISKCON's name? You said they bought their own temple.
Well, actually, they're renting one right now, and they're looking to buy a farm. But yeah, it'll be in ISKCON's name. The way Namahata is set up in England is that the Namahatas, they have to appreciate that they're part of ISKCON. And right now, there's a constitution, bylaws, which is being set up for the Namahata, and they know that every step of the way that they are always under ISKCON, so that there's no way that they can think ISKCON and Namahata, because also dealing with, sometimes it's, you know, there might be some problems, so it's set up in such a way that it's definitely under ISKCON.
Tom, no more questions.
So we thank both of the previous speakers, Shankarshan Prabhu and Vrindavasya Prabhu, for time and their sharing realizations with us here. And now we request, where is Mother Sri here? Where is Mother Shashi Shekhar?
In 1986, we saw the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1986, we saw the 500th anniversary, the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in celebration of that, His Holiness Loknath Maharaj and the Padayatris installed the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Radha Madhava's park in Sridhar Mayapur. Chaitanya Maharaj was also involved in that, being very inspired by the project. He placed 108 steps around those lotus feet in the hope that the people, the pilgrims that came to Mayapur, would take advantage of them and chant a mantra on each step, and in this way complete a round, finish the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and take their darshan. In 1989, I was offered this project as a full-time service, and the holy name, Sri Nam Prabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, is unlimited and very variegated. So in the short time that the program has been going, it has expanded very, very rapidly and is now functioning not only in Mayapur Dham, but in Puri and even in Calcutta. So Lokanath Maharaj has asked me to tell you a little bit about that. I don't really feel qualified to do the service. Actually, I'm doing it by the mercy of those Vaishnavas who want to see the name preached vigorously in Mayapur, and by their mercy is having success. I'm also dependent on your mercy. So if you have any ideas you have to share on how I can improve my service, I'll be very grateful. Basically, in Mayapur, we started there as an official project in 89, as I said. It's a very simple thing. We asked the pilgrims to come forward, chant Panchatapa Maha Mantra, pay their obeisances to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the center of the parikram. On each step, chant 108, on each step, chant Maha Mantra once. There's 108 steps. They find not only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. We have two asanas there now, one for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Trigone Thai, the other for Krishna Balaram. So they take darshan of all these personalities. Srimati Tulsi Maharani has also manifested of her own desire, so they also have her blessings. They then come over, once they've paid their pranams at the end, they come, they collect a certificate saying that they've actually chanted the holy name of Sri Mayapur and received the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself or the rest of the devotees and Mahaprasad. It sounds very simple, but it's a very effective form of preaching, because in India, the Indian people are very much harassed by so-called sadhus asking for donations. So when they come across a very simple project like this, which is free of charge, and which they find very blissful, they're happily engaged. Actually, it's a very effective way of opening their hearts and injecting the name. We find that many local people are coming regularly now, including the Gaudiya Math members, even the smarter Brahmins from Navadvipa are having interest in bringing their relatives and friends when they come. And in the 15 months that it's been in operation, over 67,000 people have chanted one round of Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, as I said, it's expanding very rapidly because it's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is unlimitedly powerful and is living in his glories. So I'll give you a little idea of how that's happening. Purnima, if anyone's interested in making comment on that or utilizing it in their own situation, I'm interested to speak to you. Many people that come to the park, they fit very nicely the description given in Srimad Bhagavatam, characteristics of those born in the age of Kali. They don't have the patience, or quite often not even the intelligence, to chant a full round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, many people who come to Mayapur, they actually don't even take darshan of the deities. They come purely for the benefit of the park. There's not so much park space in Mayapur. So they come with their eggs and their all sorts of unmentionables and have their picnics. So this is very distressful given that the Mayapur Dham is the birthplace of the holy name. So we started a very simple project to counteract that, and it's having a great deal of success. It's called Nothing Sweeter Than the Name. It's very simple. We just go around with a very large granny apron on, which is a name apron, with a bright basket. We get people, we just walk up to people in the park, ask them to chant Panchatapa Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 3 times after us, and distribute Mahaprasad. So in this way, we've engaged many thousands of people that would otherwise not be engaged. It's quite interesting to find that the holy name is beyond piety and impiety. Some of these people have got their mouth full of egg when they're chanting. All sorts of things are going on. We've also started up another form of Hare Krishna Prachar called Likat Japa. It's very famous amongst the Sri Sampradaya, where you write the holy name. So we've opened the Hare Krishna Bank. What this essentially means is that anyone who opens an account, they don't just deposit money, they deposit the holy name. It's written, they can make as many deposits as they like, and then at the end of each month we send them out a statement of their account, what their account, how healthy it's looking. There are bonuses that are given from high investments and yearly prizes also. We've only just recently started that. It's proving very, very successful. We're doing it in four languages at the moment. The highest deposit at this time is from an 80-year-old man, or 82-year-old man, who's actually been writing the Maha Mantra out of his own volition since about 1981. And he was very enthused to find that he could actually invest all his mantras in the Hare Krishna Bank, Mayapur ISKCON. And he deposited as his first deposit 80,592 mantras. Isn't it amazing? So I think it's going to be the prize winner this year. We're also working on and hope to have finished by Radhastami Hari Nam in the home kit. I'd be very interested in any advice that devotees can give on this. Basically, we want to make a very compact kit that would encourage people to do a couple of basic things. One, chant the holy name at home. Two, offer bogus prasad. And three, read Srila Prabhupada's books. Very essence of Krishna consciousness. I won't elaborate on it because there's another speaker and it is getting late. In Calcutta, basically, we're concentrating on the schools and the young people because I don't know how many of you are aware of pop music and things that's going on in India at the moment. But one of the main songs that's hit the charts is one that involves the name of Krishna. So many, many young kids are very interested in who this Krishna is, and we're utilizing that for distribution of the name and Srila Prabhupada's books. In Puri, we've had a lot of success by Jagannath's mercy and some very big opportunities. We're not sure that we're advanced enough to take advantage of them, but by the mercy of the senior Vaishnavas, we'll be able to. At Siddhabakul, last Rath Yatra, we managed to convince the Babajis that actually the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was the mantra for mass preaching this age of Kali, not the concoction that they chant. And by the mercy of Haridas Thakur and Siddhabakul, on Gandhicha Marjana, we took all the rocks off of Siddhabakul and did Abhishek of Siddhabakul Prabhu. And then we've instituted a new system for people to hang their desires on the tree. It's a clay disc made of Ganga mud, actually. They made it in Samadhi in Mayapur. Has a Panchatattva Maha Mantra around it, Hare Krishna Mantra in the center. And anyone who wants to hang their desire on this great Vaishnava, they have to chant these two mantras before they can do that. So that project is being maintained. Also, one of the boys, we actually did a three-week marathon, Harinam preaching marathon there, last Rath Yatra. It was very, very successful, although it was very disturbing also to see so many bogus mantras being distributed and so many bogus books being distributed. We're doing something about that this Rath Yatra. But what happened there was that one of the so-called Babajis, young Babajis, that was actually born at Siddhabakul, has been serving there as a pujari for 8 years, was very, very inspired by the preaching. So much so that he chose to work with the Harinam Parikram project, our project in Mayapur, the expansion of it in Puri. He was ostracized very severely by the Babajis, one for associating with ISKCON, and two for associating with somebody in a woman's body. So he wasn't satisfied with either criticisms, and he wanted to preach, so he got the blessings of his Guru Maharaj, and he's now left that ashram, although he had great attachment for the service. He's living independently now and working full-time for Harinam Parikram project. So that means that he's doing a lot of preaching in the schools and Sanskrit colleges there. It's very, very successful. He's preaching the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the relationship with Jagannath and the Holy Name. And we'll be starting a Harinam club just after Gopurnima. He's coming to help me preach in Mayapur this Gopurnima. He's also started weekly Harinams there, which are proving very successful. It's real ISKCON style, same way that Prabhupada taught us, a lot of distribution of prasad, Maha Mantra cards, literature. And basically the composition of that group, because we don't have ISKCON in Puri at the moment, officially, is Babaji's, Pandas, and the local Sanskrit students. One interesting thing about that that convinces me that actually Jagannath wants Prabhupada's ISKCON in Puri is that there's only one Sankirtan group that's allowed inside of Jagannath's temple. That's the Gambira group, the group from Gambira that bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in every day to take darshan and take him out. But this young boy has managed to convince the Pandas, the head Pandas, Rajguru, in fact, that this is a bona fide project. So we're the second group that's able to perform kirtan within the temple. So what they do is they go around all the deities in the temple a number of times, and then they come down the steps chanting very loudly, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, etc. They go throughout the town, it's a Naga kirtan, distributing, and then they come back into the temple and finish it off at Jagannath's feet, take his maaprasad. They've also managed to convince the local management to institute 24-hour Hare Krishna Mahamantra kirtan just outside next to, there's a Hanuman deity there. I can't remember which gate it is. Do you remember, Maharaj? It's on the east gate is here, and then there's Hanuman on this side. I can't remember which gate it is. But they set up a cottage. He managed to collect donations and set up an open cottage there where they do 24-hour kirtan. They've only got a 1 month trial period on it. If it meets the requirements and goodwill of the council, the Manda, then they'll be able to keep it there. So I ask you to pray for that. Also, one thing that's very inspiring, although we don't know that we'll be able to carry it off this year, is that we've developed by Loknath Maharaj's mercy, we met the king last Rath Yatra, King of Orissa. Very, very favorable to. I've had a lot of association with him since then, and we had a very long discussion some months back, in October it was, about family business, preaching the glories of Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON in Jagannath Puri, for the pleasure of Jagannath. And what happened as a result of that, he became very, very enthused, and he's requiring or requesting us to show Krishna vision on a 100-foot screen opposite Pundicha at the next Rath Yatra Festival for massive distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So obviously I'm not in a position as one small neophyte to do that alone. It's being in the hands of the GBC at the moment. If Jagannath is willing and wanting it at this point in time, it will happen. Regardless of whether we show Krishna vision or not, because that will take a lot of endeavor, we have the approval of the GBCs in that area to at least do a massive book distribution project there, as well as non-distribution project, and we'll be taking 6 to 10 devotees with us to help with it. But all I have to say, if we had more time, I could probably tell some stories, but it's probably not appropriate, and that everybody's pretty tired. And there's another speaker. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any questions or advice? Thank you very much.
Very well.
Thank you. Abha, you just come from South India. You've lived here for a while, of his experiences in South India, walking with Adiyatra in India. Mothers could, you will have your project on during the festival?
Yes.
Yeah, so they could, I mean everyone could go see how it works and assist you in your project. Learn and maybe see how you could do it in your country, in your temple. Isn't that the idea eventually too? Yeah. Also, part of 100th anniversary celebration, you know, your project could, you know, start in different places. Okay, goodbye.
Gauranga!
Gauranga!
Couldn't resist the temptation.
So everyone is familiar with Padyatra, yes? Everyone knows what Padyatra is?
Yeah.
Everyone knows that Padyatra began in 1984 in Dwarka in order to celebrate Lord Chaitanya's 500th anniversary in 1986. If you remember, Dwarka is on the west coast here, right at the tip, right here, state of Gujarat. And the idea was to proceed down into South India towards the tip, that's called Kanyakumari. You can see this white area is officially known, that's South India. It's actually very clearly defined. That involves the four states of Andhra Pradesh, Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Karnataka. Andhra being here, going clockwise, then Tamil Nadu, then Kerala, right here, very small state, and Karnataka. So above that's Orissa and Madhya Pradesh and Maharashtra. So the idea was to go down to Kanyakumari and come up. If you remember from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya went on a tour of South India, but he went the other way. He went the opposite way. The idea was to retrace his footsteps, but also to reach Mayapur. So it kind of went backwards like this. So as everyone knows, it was very successful. And since then, Padayatra has continued through back to Dwarka, up to the Himalayas. That's not chronological order. First up to the Himalayas, then back to Dwarka, and then back to Vrindavan, then back to Mayapur again. So the goal of Jai Vijay Prabhu, who's a manager of Padayatra in India, this second tour, we were going to go the same direction that Lord Chaitanya went, and we were reading one purport where Srila Prabhupada quotes Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as saying that devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they don't only like to go to places where Lord Chaitanya has been for hours or days, but even for a few minutes. So the goal of this tour so far has to specifically look for those holy places which we can find that Lord Chaitanya actually visited to kind of increase our Gauranga consciousness on this Padayatra. So to begin officially, after Ratha Yatra, then our research began, because South India begins just south of the Orissan border once we come into Andhra Pradesh. Now, to actually do this research entails a little difficulty. For example, I can read you Krishnadas Kaviraj. Of course, what would we... Hare Krishna. What would we look to? Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travel to the holy places in his tour of South India. This can be found in Madhulila. Chapter 9, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that would be our primary source of research to find out. But Krishnadas Kaviraj, he says that, because it is impossible for me to record all these places in chronological order, I simply make a token gesture of recording them. So if you're actually familiar with the geography of South India, and you read the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, you'll see that he jumps from Pakshitirtha to Tirupati, and then to Sri Rangam, and to Rameshwaram. It's not possible, of course. Lord Chaitanya can travel any way he likes. But it's not, he's traveling as a devotee, so it's not really in correct order. So to try to figure out how did he actually walk, where did he go? You know, sure he went to the major places, but he must have also gone to different places in between. So that required further research. So Jai Vijay Prabhu, my senior most godbrother, he's in the mood of the Goswamis, he's a very expert researcher. He has all kinds of books from other Gaudiya Vaishnav institutions, of people trying to make attempts to find what is the actual route beyond which is directly mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it was very exciting, and sometimes we'd have a situation, I can give you a little example. So we're in a particular area, and let's see. Yeah, we had some information that there was a temple that Lord Chaitanya visited by the strength of this verse. It says, seeing the Shiva deity named Amritalinga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. So, really, right now there's no town or place named Vedavana, which is what's it referred to in the previous verse, where he saw the Lord Shiva. He then arrived at Vedavana. But in this area where the Lord is, approximately from the previous verses, there's a town called Vedaranyam, with a very huge ancient Shiva temple. So we can conclude that this must have been the Vedavana that...
One is Aranyam is forest. One means forest, Aranyam is forest. So Vedaranyam, Vedavana, we know the same thing.
Right. So
if you have found Veda Aranya, yes, that is Veda 1.
Yes, so we came to that conclusion, because there was no other ancient Shiva temple, and there was no other town by that name.
That's the Aranya, you know, Aranya forest.
And it's very possible that in a lot of these places, we're actually the first Gaudiya Vaishnava pilgrims that visited these Mahaprabhu Tirthas. because generally the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in Bengal and Vrindavan, they don't go out of their way to find these obscure places. And this was our mission. So actually, this was a very beautiful temple. It was very special, as well as having this Amrit Linga, a very ancient linga, and the whole town being constructed around this temple with gigantic gopurams. For your information, gopuram are those kind of spaceship-looking pyramids covered with deities that you see in South India that soar into the sky. And the Vimanam is the name of the very interesting tower, like aircraft-shaped tower, which covers the deity. Vimanam also means aircraft. So this was a very special temple, and we heard from the Brahmins in the area that this temple possessed a solid emerald linga that had been worshipped for thousands of years and kept locked in a vault. So we got special darshan. We went in, it's like a prison cell they have with bars, and then the priest comes in, opens the vault, and pulls out this emerald linga. And they perform this puja by putting like buttered basmati rice on the linga, then gore and bananas, and they jam it on the lingas, and then it becomes prasad, and then it's distributed. So this is very interesting. And Mahaprabhu came here also and offered prayers. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he states that he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. Before this, he also mentions that he went to Vridaloka, a place of pilgrimage, which is also a temple of Lord Shiva. Prabhupada expands it, Vedachalam. And we had an interesting experience. Once again, this was a fantastic town, the center of which was this temple of Lord Shiva with elaborate gopurams and these festivals in the evening when they bring the deity out. But what was interesting is that our advanced party, Badri Vishal and Swetadweep Prabhu, they went and they talked to the Vaishnavas in the area to help us with accommodation and securing boga, but they weren't very inclined to help us for some reason. But when we approached the Shaivites, they treated us so nicely. They gave us boga, accommodation, donations. They came and chanted Hare Krishna, and the head priest was telling us how much he loves Krishna. So we could see that actually here was some of the remnants of Lord Chaitanya having turned the Shaivites into Vaishnavas. They were still Vaishnavas, but it doesn't mention that he turned the Vaishnavas into very good Vaishnavas, because they didn't treat us very nicely. But the Shaivites were extremely kind to us. So we see this as Lord Chaitanya's mercy on us. And we experience this quite frequently, where it states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Lord Chaitanya converted the Shaivites into Vaishnavas, that they are very friendly to us, even more than the present-day Vaishnavas. So there's so much nectar, I could just touch upon a little bit of it. We went to one temple, once again visited by Mahaprabhu, called Sri Mushnam, which is also a not very commonly visited temple. It's off the beaten path. It's once again a huge temple, huge gopurams, ancient. But when you see the coconut trees and the gopurams coming up and the sun and the blue sky, it's a very beautiful sight. The deity in this temple is a self-manifest deity of Lord Varaha from a Shalagram Shila. And this is a Divya Kshetra, which means the Lord personally selected this location to be worshipped. It's a very wonderful deity. The Lord, it's explained, he just killed Hiranyaksha and he came to this place to rest. And he's like this. He's got his hands on his side, very proud. He's got his transcendental snout in the air, in victory. It's a very, very attractive form. And a silver hat and silver armor on. And in fact, there's a very beautiful photograph of this in the next Padayatra newsletter upcoming. So if you don't have a subscription, you better get one. And you can approach any of the Padayatris and our booth in Mayapur if you're interested. So that was very wonderful darshan, and they told us that what's unusual about this deity is that every year there's a festival where it goes to the ocean. This is near the coast, in the north of Tamil Nadu, and they bathe the deity in the ocean, and then this deity is worshipped by the Muslim population of that town, and they take a cloth from Lord Varaha and put it in their mosque, which is very unusual of Muslims to worship Lord Vishnu, what to speak of his boar incarnation, because they're normally extremely adverse to any kind of iconography or worship of an idol. And we asked what was the cause of this, what was the reason. They stated because thousands of years ago the Lord married one Muslim girl in that village, therefore they accept him as worshipable. Another very beautiful temple which Mahaprabhu visited, there's a town called Madhuruntakam. This is situated halfway between Kanchipuram and Srirangam. I can't talk about Kanchipuram. Well, I could. It's a very big town in the Andhra Pradesh, and it's extremely populated with many temples. There are 17 major temples, all with huge gopurams. Vishnu Kanchi, Tamil Nadu, excuse me, North Tamil Nadu, just south of the Andhra border, below Tirupati. That's another temple. There are so many temples in South India, it's hard to list them all. So Kanchipuram, the deity of Shiva Kanchi, which is extremely famous, very ancient. It had that mango tree we were discussing earlier. And Vishnu Kanchi, which houses Lord Bhardwaj. If you remember, this was the deity which Ramanujacharya spoke to through Kanchipurna, the humble servant of the deity Bhardwaj. That was how Ramanujacharya used to communicate with the Lord. So this Lord later, through Kanchipuram, told him to go to Srirangam to see Yamunacharya, who of course had developed much affection for Ramanujacharya, hearing his exploits. So he sent Mahapurna to initiate Ramanujacharya. So they met in this town called Madurantakam. It's where where Ramanujacharya took initiation from Mahapurna. What's very interesting is this temple has very unusual deity of Ram helping Sita off their flower aircraft. The Mulavar deity in the temples in South India, they have the Utsavamurti, which is the brass deity, which goes out for festivals. And there's the big black stone deity in the background, which doesn't come out because it's too large. So the deity has Lord Ramachandra holding Sita's hand as she's getting off the flower airplane. It's very unusual, and it's the only deity of its kind in India. And when we were taking darshan of the little temple on the side dedicated to Mahapurna and Ramanujacharya, the priest came in and he fumbled and he brought out this little silver box, and he produced two very exquisitely fashioned stamps shaped like a conch and a chakra. And he explained that these were the actual stamps which branded the transcendental body of Ramanujacharya during his Sri Vaishnav Panchasamskara initiation. So we're in awe to actually see this transcendental paraphernalia. And then he produced the Ladu Gopal deity, the personal Ladu Gopal deity of Mahapurna, very beautiful little deity of Krishna. This was Ramanujacharya's guru's personal deity, Ladu Gopal. So that was also very special. And once again, we always tried to meditate on Lord Chaitanya when we visit these sites, because every time Krishna's Kaviraj explained that Lord Chaitanya would come and see the deity and dance in ecstasy and amaze the residents and the pujaris in the temple. Another thing which was kind of exciting, Ramanujacharya, he made a list in his time of 108 significant Vaishnav temples, temples of Lord Vishnu throughout India. And some of these are more popular ones like Tirupati. Everyone knows Tirupati Tirumala, Lord Venkateshwar in South Andhra Pradesh, or Badrinath Bhadrik Ashram, or Lord Janardhan in Mathura. But out of 108, there's 70 of these deities of Vishnu that have been worshipped for thousands of years, 70 of these in Tamil Nadu. So if you think that the holy places of Mahaprabhu's time have been lost, these have even been more lost, because these were famous and visited by sadhus thousands of years ago. So we called this Indiana Jones and the Raider of the Lost Vishnu Temples, because it was extremely exciting. Jai Vijay got this book from 1920 in Madras from the Sri Vaishnav Devastanam called Divya Deshas. This is written a long time ago describing where these 108 temples of Vishnus are throughout India. And it's kind of written in archaic English, and it's written, oh, take a horse carriage here and then hike up this mountain, and towns have different names, and it'll give a description. The deity will be facing this way. This is the name of the deity. This is the relationship. You'll find this murti and that murti in this kind of position. So a typical example that we would go through is we come into a town, and Jai Vijay would pick out his book and find that there was a deity of Lord Ranganath in this village. So we'd look for it, and the name wouldn't be familiar. We'd ask some of the local devotees, the local people in the town, and they'd have no idea. Then one man would come forward and said, yes, you go in this road. That is Sundarajan Gopal. We go, yes, yes, that was the name in this old book. And then we'd go, and then it turned out that we'd go to a wrong temple, and then a little boy would come up and go, Vishnu, Vishnu. And we'd go up this way, it'd be a dirt road, it would veer off, and then we'd go into jungle. And there'd be a few huts, a few villages through rice fields, and we'd be looking. And then all of a sudden we'd see a tip of an old gopuram above a coconut tree. And then we'd rush in, we'd try to find the road in, and then we'd come in, and we'd find this decrepit, broken-down remnants of some previously glorious Vishnu temple. You know, the gopuram's half sunken into the ground, and there's a tree growing out of it, and then the deity cart is sunk into the ground. And we'd come in, and there'd be tulsi growing everywhere. It would be a jungle of tulsi inside, and not maintained at all. And we'd go up, and it would be locked. And we'd know that usually, even though these were lost temples, there'd be some pujari somewhere who was the son of the son of the son of the original pujari would have the key. So we'd send out devotees to try to find him. He'd come in, and then he'd come in and be an old man hunched up, and he'd bring a torch, and he'd lead us through the dark, you know, temple room. And it was all, it's all there towering in cement, and bats would be flying everywhere, and the smell of bats still would be very strong. And then he'd come, and he'd open up this huge lock, like this gigantic lock. He had the big key over his shoulder, and he'd like screech open, open up, bats would fly out, and then he'd open the door, and we'd all come in, and then he'd take the torch and whip it around, and then come, and then we'd see illumine this huge, beautiful lotus-eyed face of Lord Ranganath. And we'd all like, oh, gasp and awe. And then Ananta Shesh, and then he'd move it down the other end of this dark room. We'd see the feet of the Lord, and he'd explain the glories of the Lord in Tamil, which we didn't understand, but we enjoyed it anyway. So, and then we'd get some old Charnamrita, which always tasted fresh somehow. And so this happened many, many times, and it was very exciting. It was very adventurous. And then it would end in a very sweet darshan of Lord Vishnu. So this was it was very wonderful. And another one of the other lists, which we also tried to put on our program, is in India there exists what's called Panch Linga, where there's five lingas which are said to have been manifest since the creation of the universe. The five elements: ether, air, fire, water, and earth. Did I name five? Anyway, so one temple, we managed to see these. We went to Srikalahasti, which is just before Tirupati. It's very interesting. We came in, and Mahaprabhu visited this temple, and we didn't really know whether the people there knew or they even knew who Mahaprabhu was. So we took a kirtan with little Nitai Gaurasundar, like we usually do when we go to see a temple. And we came up, and they wanted to charge us a large admission. So we asked to see the head guy, and he came, and he said, "Oh, Mahaprabhu." He was smiling. He goes, "Mahaprabhu, yes, Mahaprabhu came here." Yes, he was very proud that Mahaprabhu came to his temple. So he says, "Yes, yes, free darshan." So they took us through, and they cleared all the people out, and they took us right in. And this was the air linga. So you can ask, how do they have an air linga? And they showed us that they sealed off the temple room, and there's the deity of Lord Vishnu, Nataraj, dancing, and the linga, and many, many flames. And even though it's closed off, if you go in, you'll see the flames are flickering. That indicates the presence of this air linga. And if you go to a temple near Sri Rangam, it houses the water linga. And when you go into the temple room, there's this manifest spring come from the ground when the temple was constructed. So you're like knee-high in water when you take darshan. That's also somewhat interesting. One, just to come to a conclusion of our places that we visited, one very nice place was when we came to the banks of the Godavari. I'm not going in chronological order. It would be very difficult to. I'm just mentioning some of the more obscure places. But this is not obscure. Everyone knows this is where Lord Chaitanya had his conversations with Ramananda Roy. So there's a Gaudiya Math temple called Ramananda Gaudiya Math, right at the spot of the Godavari River where Mahaprabhu manifested his form as Radha and Krishna. And as anyone who's done a little traveling in India knows, that wherever Mahaprabhu visited in many places, there's a solid marble temple, his footprints, which were installed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So in this case, it was very special because there's also, this was created into a temple room of a deity of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya expanding into Radha and Krishna. But what was very interesting is we were sitting there on this spot. Murthyo is a very special spot, and one of the local Gaudiya Vaishnavas came up and said, "Do you know why this is the holiest place in all of India?" And we said, "Yeah, why?" You know, we always hear, everyone always says that their Tirtha, wherever we travel, this is the most special. And we said, "Why?" And they said, "Because Mahaprabhu never manifested this Radha Sarup," that's what they called it, this manifestation of Radharani. So therefore, this is the most sacred place in all of India. So we are definitely impressed. We thought he might have a point there. He might actually be telling the truth. So that's just a little hint of some of the nectar you've been missing if you haven't been on South Indian Pariyatra. So you might ask, "Well, that's very nice, but what about Harinam Sangirtan? What about the preaching? Isn't that Pariyatra's business?" So of course, as well as going to all these places visited by Mahaprabhu, we always travel with Nitai Gaurasundar, the Pariyatra deities. Everyone's seen the cart, has some idea what the Pariyatra looks like as it travels. Wherever we go, we chant Hare Krishna, and we try to focus people to repeat the mantra, just like Mother Sashi Shekhar. We'll get whole schools. We'll come by, and the headmaster, being very favorable, will bring the children out, and we'll have thousands of students. And we'll have one of the devotees chant the Maha Mantra, and they'll all repeat, and we'll go on like this. And I remember when I was lagging behind like I usually do here in the back, as I was walking, I just passed groups of children, groups of people going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Bol! Because I knew the devotees had just been there, and this is like just groups of people chanting. You know, it's like after effects of Pariyatra. When I caught up there, they were chanting. And even though people, they don't think really Pariyatra is being book distribution oriented per se, but I can tell you from personal experience that Pariyatra runs on book distribution. That's how we survive, and that's how we feed ourselves, and that's how we feed the bulls. What usually happens is, for example, in Tamil Nadu, somebody will go up to Madras and will pick up a book. For example, can someone tell me which book this is? Read the title. Marash. No, this is in Tamil language. It's very funny looking language. It looks like computer printout. This is a Tamil book, and this is what we distribute. We'll get so many thousands of copies. This is perfect question, perfect answers. So we'll stop along the road, and then a group of people will gather to see us, and we'll pull these books and go, you know, Aidu Rupya. Aidu is five in Tamil, and we'll distribute like that, and the collections at the end of the day, pretty much that's what we're dependent upon on our maintenance. We distribute many Bhagavad Gitas and many of these small books, and also with the help of Banu Maharaj, we just recently printed up a 1 rupee pamphlet in Tamil, which explains who is Prabhupada, what is Pariyatra, who is Lord Chaitanya, what is the Yuga Dharma. So we could distribute mass quantities very cheaply to the people. So that's, I'm sorry? Evening program. Yes, wherever we get to a spot, we stop, we park the cart, and we'll announce to everybody on the way that we're going to have a darshan. Bhajan, Pravachan, American cinema, which usually attracts them even though it's not really what they expect. We'll have kirtan, we'll have Gaur Artik for Nitai Gaur Sundar, which everyone appreciates very much, because the deities are very beautiful on Pariyatra and Nitai Gaur Sundar, and the pujari keeps them very nicely dressed. And then we'll have a talk in Tamil. We have it on a tape recording, because no one speaks Tamil. This was Maharaj's suggestion. We turn it on, and then it comes out in Tamil, an explanation of our program. And then we'll roll down in front of the deity cart a movie screen and bring out the projector, and we'll show them World of Hare Krishna and Your Ever Well Wisher and Golden Avatar. And usually the whole village comes out. So they get a nice appreciation of ISKCON and the devotees and the Harinam, and we'll also use that opportunity to distribute books. We'll get everyone crowded around, and someone will speak with a Tamil translator and try to focus them. And we'll put all the books in front of Prabhupada, who's sitting right there on the cart. So there's so many more temples that I've neglected to mention, from Sri Rangam and Rameshwaram, Tirupati, Singachalam, all in the Sringa Tirthas. But once again, these are being described in length in the Pariyatra newsletter. So if you don't have a subscription, there's a lot of interesting things. And if your curiosity has been piqued at all by this talk, and you'd like to visit these places yourselves, then the newsletter is the perfect thing to have, because it'll tell you where it is and what the history is and how to get there. So thank you very much. Are there any questions about the South Indian Pariyatra? Right now Pariyatra is in Rameshwaram, which is extremely south. Right down here you see this little bridge, land bridge between Tamil Nadu and Sri Lanka. This is called Adam's Bridge, and many people believe that it's the remnants of the bridge that Lord Ramachandra built to reach Lanka. It still exists, you can see. Of course, they don't really have an explanation for it. And right near there is Rameshwaram, where it said that Lord Ram worshipped Lord Shiva after defeating Ravana. So, before, in order to get the boon to defeat Ravana. So, Pariyatra is going to be continuing down Kanyakumari, back to Dwarka. That means passing through the Kanyakumari district. The Adikeshava temple is there. We'll be there in about a month or so. And that's where Lord Chaitanya found the Brahma Samhita. It's a very beautiful temple of Lord Krishna. And then we'll be going through Kerala, many nice temples of Lord Vishnu through there. Is Guruvayur in Kerala, Maharaj? Guruvayur, very famous temple, invited by Lord Parshuram. In fact, some people believe that Kerala was specifically created for the purpose to... Yes, Kerala's Parshuram Kshetra He constructed Kerala with his axe. And if you're also attracted by beautiful scenery, Kerala is likened to Hawaii. Very beautiful beaches, white sand, and just fringed with coconut trees. So that's where Padayatra is going next if you want a transcendental vacation. And then into Karnataka, where Udupi, Temple of Udupi, which is run by the Madhvacharyas. And we'll be going to a Kumbh Mela in Nasik, and Pandharpur in Maharashtra for Dindi. That's a Padayatra of over 100,000 people, 200,000 people in glorification of Lord Vital, who is Lord Krishna, for 18 days. So something is always, sometimes devotees, they'll say, I say, well, I've been on Padayatra. They'll go, oh, really? Padayatra is still going on? Sometimes devotees are a little ill-informed, but Padayatra is going on strong, and there's always something interesting going on. This is just a little taste. I've been on Padayatra before in Maharashtra, and I've been on in the Himalayas, and there's never a dull moment. There's always something exciting going on, and there's always some very nice preaching. Because just being in a Western body, exposing yourself to the villagers, that's preaching in itself. So you get a lot of mercy from Srila Prabhupada, I definitely believe that.
Does the next miracle in Dwarka?
Yes. We should be reaching Dwarka for the third visit to Dwarka after next Mayapur festival. So we're going to be having a big festival there. If you'd like to be there for that time or coming into Dwarka, we invite you to come.
Summer of 92 we'll be going to Dandikarsha.
Yes. In the summer of 92, if things go well, if we may be a little late, it might be the summer of 93, but we're shooting for the summer of 92. We'll be going to Bhadrak Ashram. This was my first experience with Padayatra in 1987. I joined just below Rishikesh and Haridwar, and you go up the Himalayas to Bhadrak Ashram, and I can tell you that it's some of the most beautiful scenery I've ever seen in my life, and it's extremely transcendental. It's just full of sadhus on pilgrimage and ancient temples and indescribable beauty. You'll see from mango groves to, you know, crystalline peaks, snow-covered peaks sparkling over the horizon, and valleys of flowers, and many Sikh holy places also up there, Hemkund. So I know a lot of devotees that are already planning to go. You walk along the Ganges to its source, and the Ganges there runs crystal clear and aquamarine, and very cold and very sweet, very, very, very tasty. And Maharaj once commented that when you walk up the Himalayas, you only see three things. That's the sun, the Himalayas, and the Ganges. And Lokanath Maharaj was explaining how Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he is these three things in the chapter of Opulences of the Absolute. So it's very easy to be Krishna conscious on Padayatra in the Himalayas. And it's a very wonderful experience. The mountain people are very sweet, very simple. And when you finally get to Bhadrak Ashram, it's a very, very far out place. There's a natural manifested hot springs right in front of the Badrinath temple. So don't worry, you won't have to take bath in the Alakananda and break the ice cube bergs and put in your bucket. You can take a nice hot steaming sulfur bath. That's what all the Indian pilgrims do.
Let's go.
This is the Lord's mercy on the pilgrims. There is one question, Prabhu.
Just one question. As you mentioned, there's going to be a tour, a bus tour.
Dham Mahatta by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yesterday we were in Modadham Deep.
Today also.
So we read about Modadham Deep already. Now next, Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentioned about Vaikunthapur. I asked here, few people, they couldn't tell. But nearby we just passed, where you saw last year, as Maharaj was saying, we crossed the river that from the Ghat. This year we are not did that, we just come here. So we passed that place called Mahatpur. I will read about that Mahatpur. Vaikunthapur, excuse me. It's not Mahatpur.
Part of Modadham,
right? Yeah. So after Modadham Deep, is Vaikunthapur, then Rudradip. Just before Rudradip, is mentioned. Unless you read, you can tell. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I'll read the Bengali also, softly. Eiru purvakatha bolite bolite sab upanita mahatpur sannihite
after describing about the Vaikunthapur, which is somewhere between here and Bamgachi, nobody could tell me. So we are not reading about Vaikunthapur, we are telling Mahatpur, which has just crossed, passed. Nityananda Prabhu brought Jiva Goswami and others in Mahatpur, which he just passed. By the side of the Ganges, we are walking. Prabhu vale ei sthane ache kamavan param bhakti saha karah darshan. This Mahatpur is as good as Kamavan in Vrindavan. You know, Kamavan you might have in Vrajamandala Parikrama passed by the mercy of Lokanath Swami. Now, this Kamavan is very beautiful. I also went there before many times. He's saying, with love and devotion, see all these places. Panchabat eisthane chilo purvakale prabhur iccha ebe gelo antarale. There are five trees here. You know, Ramchandra stayed in Panchavati when he was in exile, when he left his palace, Ayodhya, and here also was Panchavati long ago. But by the desire of the Lord, it has disappeared, all these five trees.
Given the place where we, last year we had our class and Guru Puja and breakfast, that place does not exist anymore. But looking for that place and it has just washed away.
By Ganges.
It's not there anymore.
We saw by the side, many houses gone.
That's why we were bewildered. We're looking for that place and it's not there anymore. Things are changing quite fast here.
Purbanam Sastra Siddha Mahatpurhai Draupadi Saha Pandu Mahatpurhai. Previously, it was called Mahatpur, and local people, this is a book word, Mahatpur. Mahat means great or greatest, the greatest among all Pura, or the place. According to scripture, this place was called Mahatpur, but local people usually call it Matapur. It's just changing because of the accent. Look at them. Draupadi Saha Pandu Putra Panchajan Agyato Vasate Gaure Koilo Agoman. With Draupadi, five sons of Pandav, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakul, Sahadev, they came in the Gaur Mandal when they are in exile, in disguise. You know that in Mahabharata, the Pandavas are in exile also, they are banished, and they are supposed to be 1 year in disguise. When they are in disguise, incognito staying, they came to Gaur Mandal. Agyato Vasate Gaure Koilo Agoman Ek Chakra Game Sapne Durgaman. Then they came to this place of Gaur Mandal Bhumi. They came here. Ek Chakra Game Sapne Raja Yudhishthir Nodiya Mahatya Jani Hoilo Asthir. Also, I don't know how many of you have gone to the birthplace of Lord Nityananda. From here, maybe 190 kilometers, something like that. Towards north, Lord Nityananda has appeared. The place is called district Birbhum district, and village name is Ek Chakra, mentioned in Mahabharata. And when the Pancha Pandava was in exile, especially living in incognito, they spent some time there, and Bhimasen killed one Asura, Maya Asura. That place is still there. Some of you might have gone, and some of you, those who have not gone, can go sometime from Mayapur. So there, Maharaj Yudhishthira was there. So when he became restless, knowing the glories of Navadvip Dham, which is situated in Nadia district, Pardi, Navadvip, Darshaner Ase, Eisthane Ailo, Sabe Parama Ullasem. He's mentioning some day, and he's saying, next day, when he became restless, Maharaj Yudhishthira, next day, to visit Navadvip Dham, Maharaj Yudhishthir, with other brothers and mother, also Draupadi, came here. এই স্থানে আইল সবে পরম উল্লাসে নবদ্বীপ সুবাহিনী পাণ্ডুপুত্রগণ গৌরবাসীগণ ভাগ্য করে প্রশংসন সিং দ্য বিউটি অব নবদ্বীপ ধাম অল দি ফাইভ ব্রাদার্স ভীম অর্জুন নকুল সহদেব মহারাজ যুধিষ্ঠির হ্যাঁ দ্য হাইলি অ্যাপ্রিসিয়েটেড দ্য রেসিডেন্টস অব গৌরমণ্ডল দোজ আর ধামবাসী Maharaj Yudhishthir and the four other brothers, they are praising, they are telling the fortune, how fortunate are the Dhambasis of Navadvip Dham. Gaurvasi, Gan Bhagya Karapasangshan, Katodin Koilen, Heisthanebas, Asur Rakhas Gane Korilo Vinas. They stayed here. For some days, the five Pandava brothers, Draupadi, and if there are any Rakshasa, were killed by them. At that time, any Rakshasa was there, if at all, they killed. Yudhishthir, Tila, Dekho, Sarvajan, Draupadi, Kunda, Heta, Korano, Darshan. See, the hill, which is named after Maharaj Yudhishthir. We don't know where is that hill now. Though there was a hill, dirt hill, named after King Yudhishthira. And there used to be also a well, water of which was used by Mother Draupadi. And saying that, Draupadi Kunda Heta Kara Darshan. So, Nityananda Babu is saying, now you see the well, the water of which was used by Mother Draupadi. And the hill, named after King Yudhishthir. So, Nityananda Babu is telling to Jiva Goswami all this and showing him. Sthaner Mahatya Jani Raja Yudhishthir Ei Sthane Kato Din Hoilen Sthir. Knowing the glories of this place, King Yudhishthira stayed here, decided to stay here for some time more. Ek Din Shapne Dekhe Gaurange Rup সর্বধিক আলো করে অতি অপরূপ সাডলি ওয়ান ডে কিং যুধিষ্ঠিরা ইন এ ড্রিম স দ্য বিউটিফুল ওয়ান্ডারফুল ফর্ম অফ গৌরাঙ্গা সর্বধিক আলো করে অতি অপরূপ ইট ইলুমিন ব্রাইটলি দ্য অল ডিরেকশন The beauty of Gauranga Mahaprabhu was beautifying and making the whole place illuminated by the light coming out from his body. Rays. Hasite hasite gaur bolila vachan. Smilingly, Gauranga Mahaprabhu was telling King Yudhishthira in a dream, Oti goppo roop ei karodarshan. This my beautiful form. Is very confidential. But you are fortunate, you can see it. So I am displaying to you. Ami Krishna Nandasuta Tomaro Aloe Mitrabhave Thaki Sada Nijojan Hoye. I always stay in your house. You may not know, but you know the darling of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, who is friend to you also. In the form of Krishna, I am always with you and residing in your house. Ei Navadvip, Ei Navadvip Dham, Sarvadham Sar, Kolite Prakat Hoye Nashe Andhakar. This Navadvip Dham, my dear Yudhishthir, is the essence, is the greatest of all the abode of the Lord. Especially in the Kali Yuga, it dispels the nescience of all the conditioned soul, whoever comes here in Navadvip Dham. তুমি সবে আছো চিরকাল দাস মম আমার প্রকট কালে পাইবে জনম ইউ হ্যাভ অলওয়েজ বিন সার্ভিং মি ইটার্নালি ইউ আর মাই সার্ভেন্ট হোয়েন আই উইল অ্যাপিয়ার ইন দিস নবদ্বীপ ধাম ইন ফিউচার ইউ উইল অলসো টেক বার্থ হিয়ার উৎকল দেশেতে সিন্ধু তীরে তোমা সহ একত্রে পুরুষোত্তমে রব অহরহ উৎকল দেশেতে সমুদ্রে তীরে তোমা সহ উইথ ইউ ইন দি প্রভিন্স অফ উৎকল অ্যাট প্রেজেন্ট উইচ ইজ কল উড়িষ্যা জগন্নাথ পুরী ইউ ক্যান সে বাই দি সাইড অফ দি ওশেন মাস্ট বি জগন্নাথ পুরী একত্রে পুরুষোত্তমে রব অহরহ উইথ ইউ We will be staying there all the time in Purushottam Khetra, that is Jagannath Puri. Ehi sthan hoite be jao urdra deshe, se deshe povitra kori nasajiv kleshe. Now, from this place, this Gaur Mandal, you leave this place and go to the province of Orissa. And purify that place and remove the distress of the conditioned soul there. Svapna dekhi judhishthir bhatrigane bale, jukti kori chhoy jane odra deshe chale. Consulting with the other rest of the brothers, King Judhishthir told what he has seen in the dream. Consulting together, all of them, six of them, because Draupadi was there, five brothers and Draupadi, they left for Orissa. Navadvip chhaito hoilo boro kesh, tathapi palon kare prabhuro adesh. They are feeling separation from this Navadvip dham. They don't feel like leaving this place, but what can be done? This is the order of the Lord Gauranga. So they have to leave. Ehi sthane madhyamuni shishyagan loye roilen kato din dhambasi hoye. Madhyamuni, I think Madhyacharya is also called sometimes Madhyamuni. With his disciples, he came here once and stayed with the dhambasis, residents of the নবদ্বীপ ধাম মদ্দরে করিয়া কৃপা গৌরাঙ্গ সুন্দর স্বপ্নে দেখাইল রূপ অতি মনোহর বিং কম্প্যাশনেট টু দি মধ্যাচার্যা লর্ড গৌরাঙ্গ অ্যাপিয়ার্ড ইন এ ড্রিম উইথ হিস এক্সকুইজিটলি বিউটিফুল ফর্ম হাসি হাসি গৌরচন্দ্র মধ্যাচার্য বলেন স্মাইলিংলি গৌরাঙ্গ মহাপ্রভু টোল্ড মধ্যাচার্যা তুমি নিত্য দাস মম জানো তো সকলে এভরিবডি নোস ইউ আর মাই ইটার্নাল সার্ভেন্ট নবদ্বীপে যবে আমি প্রকট হইব তব সম্প্রদায়ে আমি স্বীকারও করিব হোয়েন ইন ফিউচার আই উইল অ্যাপিয়ার ইন দিস ধাম নবদ্বীপ ধাম দেন আই উইল অ্যাকসেপ্ট ইউর সম্প্রদায় ইন দিস কানেকশন আই উড লাইক টু রিমাইন্ড ইউ that we come from the Madhya, Brahma Madhya Gauriya Sampradaya, which actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling already here. Told, Ebe sarbo deshe tumi koriya jatan, mayabad asat satsa karo utpatan. Now, I order you, you go to different countries and carefully uproot the influence of the impersonalism which comes from Asat Shastra. Simurti Mahatya Tumi Karo Parokash Tava Shuddha Mat Ami Karibo Vikash. You introduce and the glorification also of the worshipping of the deity. We know that before Madhyacharya, there is too much influence of Mayabad, that God is formless. So he is asking him, you preach that God is, God has got form. And that glory of the Lord, of personalism, you preach. He is asking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a dream is ordering Madhvacharya like that. Tabo Shuddha Matani Koribo Vikash. When you preach all these things, after that when I will come, then I will take that pure philosophy of personalism and I will also develop that again in my time. Eto boli gaurchanda hoilo antadhan nidra bhangi maddamuni hoilo agyan. Saying this, ordering this to Madhvacharya, Lord Gauranga disappeared from his vision in the dream. And Madhvamuni, Madhvacharya, when he awoke, he became again senseless in separation from Lord Gauranga. Arki dehik dekhibaru purata sundar boliya krandan kare madhya atapar. When Madhvacharya came to his senses, remembering the exquisitely beautiful form of Lord Gauranga, he started crying, saying, when that time will come, I will again see that wonderful, exquisitely beautiful form of Lord Gauranga. Doibhavani hoilotabe nirmal akase, amare gopani bhoji aishama ma pase. Then he heard an aerial message. In the clear sky, there was an aerial message he could hear, Madhvacharya. Amare gopani bhoji aishama ma pase. You start worshipping me confidentially, unseen by others, and then you can come back to me. I assure you this. I promise you this. Sustir haiya Madhvacharya Mahasaya. Then Madhvacharya became peaceful. Listening this promise, getting this promise from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhvacharya was pacified. Mayabadi Digvajaye Korila Vijay. Then he conquered all the places where there was influence of Mayabad or impersonalism. And in this way, he established also personalism in different countries. Eisha purvakatha bolite bolite rudradipe upanita dekhite dekhite. Describing all these things, Nityananda Prabhu with Jiva Goswami and other associates, seeing the beautiful scenery of the Navadvip Dham, he appeared in other part of the Navadvip Dham called Rudradip. That is, when he crossed the river, we'll arrive in the Rudradip. If Maharaj again ask or order, then we'll read about it. Thank you very much. Sri Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Nityananda Prabhu ki, Sri Sri Jiva Goswami ki, Gopramanande.
He has got question. Mr. Sanyasi. He asked, I don't know.
From Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us so many interesting details about personalities who came to Navadvip. My question is, did he write Navadvip Mahatmya after experiencing the conversation between Nityananda and Jiva Goswami in some kind of trance, and whereby he wrote these things down, or did he make a literary device in Navadvip Mahatmya and base it on study of the scriptures, revealed scriptures, the Vedas and the Puranas and everything? How did this come about?
As far knowledge goes, I also read, there is another, by Narahari Thakur, is called Bhakti Ratnakar. Ocean is called Ratnakar. Ratna means jewel. Ocean of jewel. Bhakti is an ocean of jewel. Translation of is this, Bhakti Ratnakar. You can say also ocean of bhakti, just like bhakti rasamrita sindhu. This is written by Narahari Thakur. There also all these things, same detail is mentioned there.